We are turning now to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and verse 26. Hebrews, chapter 10, and verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. In this morning's message, we consider every believer's priestly responsibility. And this time we will be considering the subject, willful sin of a professing believer. First, let me say what these words are not saying. These words are not saying that a Christian does not sin. I would be a hypocrite to say this. We all sin. Neither are these words teaching that a true born-again Christian can lose their salvation if they sin. This is contrary to the Bible. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. I've read it from the New King James Bible. The text does not say if we sin willfully after we became saved or a Christian. It doesn't say that. But if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth. It's very clear. This warning is not for those guys on the sidewalk in front of our church smoking pot. This warning is for you and me in the church, those of us who are under the gospel and the instructions of the gospel. Christians can and do sin, and so at times willfully. We read in our Bibles of many believers who sin willfully, such as David, a man after God's own heart. Not once. Remember the time when he sent and he was counting the people and he was warned by his commander not to do it. He still do it anyway. And God judged him. He cut his army down. And today you have men counting numbers, counting who saved. It's not our business to count God's people. God promised that he will add to his church. I just heard a man who made a statement, I don't know who gave him the audacity to say that on the continent of Africa, they're going to have more Christians than any other continent. You see, when we begin counting numbers, we are looking at the labors of our own hands. And that is dangerous. I would never ever say who became converted under my ministry. I don't know. It's God's business, furthermore. But people have willfully sinned. And Christians do sin at times, willfully sin. God not only forgave a true child of God of their past sins, but he forgives us of our present and future sins. However, willful sin will never be a pattern of the true child of God. If you are sinning willfully as a pattern, my friend, you're not a Christian. It is not their nature to continue to sin in the light of God's revealed will. And a good passage, the Bible is loaded with verses that help us with this. But a good passage is Romans 6, 16 through 19. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave who you obey? Whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that through you, or though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. We are slaves, but we have traded our master. And that's the Christian. Therefore the words, for if we willfully sin, in Hebrews 10:26, must be understood in the light of the instructions given to believers in the prior verses that continue. And that's how you must read the Bible. Namely, the threefold exhortation given in verses 22 through 25 that we covered this morning. Let us draw near. Let us hold fast. Let us consider one another. If we are willfully ignoring especially these disciplines, we are not born again believers. And I say emphatically, you can check it out in your Bible. If a professing Christian willfully disregard these graces that is given to the church, graces to aid them in getting to heaven, they are showing a very dangerous sign. There is no more sacrifice for sin. There is no other way to be saved. They have no savior. They're headed for a Christless eternity. A person can receive the knowledge of the truth and sin willfully. And many churchgoers do this day in and day out. Many. And a caring pastor, when he sees people sinning willfully, his responsibility is to go to them, just as Matthew 18 says. But most of the time you go to them, one or two things happen. They either change or they leave. And you have seen it here recently. But you can't just sit by as a church minister and allow people to trample on the Word of God and the Son of God without going to that person, as Matthew 18 teaches. But it is difficult. You would have to say, am I willing to lose this person's friendship? Am I willing to lose their membership? Well, you better be willing to do it. And that's why many people, many servants of God, isn't going to do it. And then we have in our church more unconverted people than converted people. And that's a problem. But off meal. The church now is overrun by Satan. And you have to be very careful. Person can receive the knowledge and yet sin willfully. A verse that finds harmony with this Hebrews text is 2 Peter 2 and verse 20. This is another misunderstood passage. 2 Peter 2:20. For if, notice the conditional word, for if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Peter likens such people as a pig that went back in the wallowing in the mire, and a dog that returns to his vomit. Now in the Peter text, both the pig and the dog are unclean animals. They're pictures of the unsaved. And it means what Peter is saying, they're unsaved. So let us be careful in our exegesis of the scriptures. Let us be faithful to the scriptures. Inasmuch as the assembling of the people of God is a noble thing to do, we all can assemble and yet sin willfully in defiance of what we are taught from the scriptures. The Bible says such persons are walking a dangerous path. Some of us may have been sitting here and never ever heard these truths expounded upon. But there are nothing new. Just pick up good books and read, and you will see the author is going in the same direction. There no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. There's no other means of forgiveness. Now, the first thing we should consider is the phrase willful sin. Willful sin is to know the right thing and refuse to do what is right in defiance. That is willful sin. And sometimes we do this. Sometimes we, in defiance, challenge the authority of God. Sometimes we, children, in defiance, challenge the authority of your parents. You're willfully disobeying. That is dangerous here. That is very dangerous. You can go on walking the tightrope. You can go on. God put boundaries in our lives for a reason. You don't have to like them. The Bible says there no longer remains a sacrifice for that. Willful sin is to know right and do wrong in defiance. The Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 47 and 48, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew it not and didn't commit things worthy of stripe will be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, unto him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Notice that both servants are beaten, some with many stripes, some with fewer stripes, but there will be a punishment for both. Willful sin. Proverbs 29:1. "He that is often reproved and hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And you know what that is speaking about. There is no remedy for a person who is sent to hell. Notice that the writer includes himself to the prohibition. If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, the writer did not exclude himself from the prohibition of willful sin. And rightly so. We don't trust our minds. We don't trust ourselves. If we, and I include myself there, this means that God is no respect of persons in this matter. Hear what the apostle said on the inspiration in Romans 2:11-12. "For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." I'm afraid that today many people, Christians, have simply joined up the church. They are not taught the Bible. They are difficult to work with. Very difficult. A lot of people that I have inherited in this church were very hard to work with. Very difficult. Thankfully, some of you have been here for a while, but some were very difficult, would not come around to the teachings of God's Word. "Who are you? You just come up over the woodwork. What are you telling me?" That's some of the disposition of some that was here. It's unfortunate. God knows what He's doing. He is who built His church. He is who raised up men. Men don't raise up themselves. God is who raised them up. I don't believe that Hebrews 10:26 is referring to the true child of God who commit willful sin with impunity. Because, as I said, a Christian has a new nature. When David sinned, the Bible tells us that the Spirit smote him. It is uncomfortable for a Christian to commit sin. It's very uncomfortable. Maybe days of repentance and mourning. Blessed are they that mourn, for they should be comforted. Ask me about it, and I'll tell you. Days on your knees pleading for forgiveness. I don't know how some of us can do it. You're preparing for the communion this evening. And that's why I come to this subject, which is a sequel of this morning subject. We can be thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. His job is to convict us of sin, as we sung this morning, this evening. Come, Holy Spirit, come. The first thing we ought to consider in this subject is the warning against willful sin. Verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. The warning, of course, is divine restitution. God calls them adversaries. A true child of God is no longer an adversary, but a friend of God. If we are Christians, we are no longer adversaries. We are emissaries of God. Willful sin is dangerous. I want some of us this evening to know the peril that men risk by sinning willfully. The only thing to expect is judgment. There may be present judgment in time where we might see the hand of God and His discipline upon our lives. God may use that means to bring us to our senses. Think of the many young people who were in Christian homes or are in Christian homes, instructed in the Word of God and are sinning willfully. God may invoke a measure of judgment, a severe accident, or even imprisonment, a serious bout with illness. Now, some of you have slept in a hospital bed a couple of days and it hasn't woken you up. Young Silas was just knocked off of his bike, and they haven't woken him up either. God has a way of speaking to us. He uses providence to wake us up. I remember one time when I was wild, I was coming from the Spectrum, me and my brother wild, drive down to Philadelphia for the weekend. And I was coming back on the New Jersey Turnpike. My car just spun out. Spun about 3 times and hit the side embankment. Nothing was behind me. Nothing. Who did that? On the New Jersey Turnpike at midnight, a Saturday night. We managed to get out. Car was towed to Newark. I had to go back there to answer a traffic summons. Police asked me, how did you get out of that? I had not a clue. But when I look back, God was preserving me. My sin, I could have been dead on the spot. We don't see the hand of God in these things. We say, oh, I was lucky. The doctors were good. Yeah, we see that. And it's typical of a lost sinner. Never credit God for anything. But He uses measures. He uses providence. This is one way judgment comes. But there is ultimate judgment that one will receive for willful sin against God. Romans 6:23. The scripture gives us sufficient examples of divine retribution in God's past dealings with willful sin. Verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Here the writer reminds us of the law of Moses, and you see the usefulness of the law in preaching. Deuteronomy 17, verse 6. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. Today God has a legitimate warrant to judge willful sin. One, he has given us the word of God. That's one witness. Two, he has given us servants who bring the word of God. Three, he has given us the light of conscience to know right from wrong. Three witnesses. Out of those three witnesses, you and I are worthy to be put to death, to go to hell. Today, God has a legitimate warrant to judge us. Willful sin will be met with divine restitution. Now this restitution may be in this life. If the Lord is bringing a person to himself, as I shared with you from my personal experience, God has his way of arresting those who trample on his law. And right now there's a situation that is before us in a family setting where these things are being played out. But the ultimate restitution for any sin is the final judgment. The second thing we see in our text is God's dealings with willful sin in the past. Verse 28. We have examples of God's dealings. I read that verse already. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now in Numbers chapter 16, we have the example of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, who willfully sought to rebel against Moses and Aaron. You know the history. You've heard the surveys. In Numbers 16, 1 through 3, we read, now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said to them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. In other words, we are just as gifted as you. We are priests. You are taking on too much. Yeah. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were priests of the Levitical order. They knew better to challenge God-ordained authority. What happened to them? What happened? You can read the rest of the chapter. The earth opened and swallowed them up. They went to hell forthwith. What are you here like to challenge authority? I'm very passive. Very passive. We don't know what we're doing. What a sad, sad picture. And you know what the people of God that saw it? The swallowing up of Korah, the Ethan and Abiram, despite what they say to Moses, you killed the Lord's priests, people. Sad picture. We have the incident in Numbers 15, 32 through 36. I would not read it. The man gathering sticks on the Sabbath. It didn't appear to be that serious. The guy just picked up a few sticks to maybe light his fire to cook. And the punishment that this man received may seem disproportionate to us if we are carnal. But God saw more than you and me. This man may have been in defiance against the stated prohibition. As some of us say under our breath, so what? He said it. But I'm still going to do what I want anyway. Some of you say that. We may not say these words, but I am sure that some here, some of you have already heard people say, oh, don't mind the pastor. You don't have to mind the pastor. Just mind what he's saying. And you go along with that crowd. Willful sin. Once I commented about traveling on the Lord's Day, if it is absolutely essential, yeah, I spoke about it from the pulpit. And one lady took issue with it. Where is she now? Well, her soul is resting in peace. And I bring back these things to your ears deliberately to show you what I'm saying. All of these are my experiences in the ministry that sometimes I talk about them. Like this morning, I talk about Sister Vialva. They happen in my ministry. And they want me making applications based on these things. A man learned by experience. This man, we didn't see that part. We didn't see what he thought in his heart. Oh yeah, I know the Sabbath, but I'm doing it anyway. I need food. God commanded Moses to stone this man to death. Capital punishment. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. He gave you examples of the past. The phrase Moses' law does not mean that Moses wrote the law. He was a servant of the law. He preached the gospel, brethren. So a new covenant, us new covenant believers, are warned with these things in Hebrews 10. One, divine restitution. God's dealings with his people in the past. I am sure there are many more in scripture, but I want to come to our last heading. We see thirdly, the greater severity today. The greater severity today in judgment. The scripture saying, verse 29, or of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You see how God is showing the superiority of the new covenant, and because it is superior, the severity today is greater. If the types and the shadows were dealt with in such a manner, what makes you and I think that the substance would be treated lightly? God acted swiftly in the old dispensation, but God is patient and long suffering today, not willing that any should perish. He's patient with us today. In this new dispensation, I find that today we are very permissive in God's house with unwholesome actions. We have forgotten the words of Isaiah. When you come to appear before me, who have required this at your hand to tread my courts, to trample on my courts, dishonoring the holy place, unnecessary movement in the sanctuary, up and down. Does anyone care anymore about the holiness of God as we sit idly watching these things? We have positioned men in the church to upkeep the sanctity of the sanctuary. And at times we sit idly and let people run through, trampling the course. And you children, listen to me. This place is no place to be running up there. Up and down, I went up there. And I see them. I race them down. I'm going from here. I hope this place don't become a fish market. Let us be concerned about this, dishonoring God's house. If the Lord said, I will dwell among them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, how is it that we are not aware that he's dwelling among us? Let us give him honor. He deserves it. There is greater severity for willfully defying covenant blessings, New Testament covenant blessings, for trodding underfoot the Son of God. Verse 30, for we know him that have said, vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God will judge his people. He might judge them in time. And what we are seeing in churches today is just a tip of the iceberg of God's judgment upon the church. Today in the church have become very permissive with marriage and remarriage. And even some men are called to the office in the church who are guilty of these things. And the very confessions give leeway to this kind of action. Be careful. Be careful. And some of them are hearing me. So, brethren, this is our lot for the hour, the subject, the sequel from this morning. In light of the exhortations, men can sin willfully. But we close with some brief thoughts of application. One is that willful sin can be corrected. I want to just leave you high and dry. Willful sin can be corrected. 1 John 1:8-10. If we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, pass, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Notice three things that will correct willful sin. One, the truth. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The truth can be understood in two ways. One, the Word of God is truth. Two, the Son of God by way of the Holy Spirit. He is the truth. He is not in us if we say we have no sin. Notice the second thing that God uses to address willful sin. In verse 9 of 1 John 1, part B, cleansing. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleansing. God addressed willful sin by cleansing. When David conquered the people and God was ready to wipe out Jerusalem, he was sent to offer a sacrifice. You remember that time when he went to that Oranan's threshing floor? And by the way, that's where the temple was built, on that threshing floor. It's a picture, that threshing floor of the cross. When David said, I don't want your offerings for free. I will not offer God anything that don't cost me something. And he purchased the tools and whatever and the animals, and he offered up that offering. And David was cleansed, and Israel was cleansed from that sin. But observe the third thing that addresses willful sin in verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. His word. Many of us are ready to defend willful sin. God says it is because his word is not in us. We do not know his will on the matter. And if you don't know God's will on a matter when it comes to willful sin, shut up. Do me a favor. Don't try to counsel nobody. Shut up. You're not equipped to counsel people in the church who are sinning willfully. Let someone who is equipped deal with it. So we have considered the topic, willful sin. There is divine retribution awaiting willful sin. We saw God's dealings in the past. We saw that there is a greater severity for willful sin today. We don't have shadows anymore. We have substance. But wonderfully, there is correction for anyone who sinned willfully, because the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. This is God's word this evening.